98.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today. Thank God it is Friday. Praise God. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the book of Revelation. This is going to be program number 64 in our study here in this book. We'll be starting chapter 20 momentarily. Prior to that, I invite you guys to church this weekend. If you are new to the area or if you're looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend Island Community Church Sunday morning at 10:30. We also meet Wednesdays at 6. We're in a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Peter. I just started that this past Wednesday, and we'll be in 1 and 2 Peter for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So that's what we do here at this church. We teach the Word of God. And this Sunday, my sermon is entitled The Winning Mindset. I've preached it many times, and it's a great look, in my opinion, at how to survive, how to prosper, to how to have the mindset, if you would, of these saints of old when we read about them. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, that's the launching point for this sermon, where the Lord Jesus shows us some guy named Antipas. He says Antipas was his faithful martus, witness. Greek word means martyr or witness, where Satan's throne is. Now, as history has it, this man Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. And I've always wondered, man, oh man, could I be that cool? How about you? Would you be able to do that? We read of another saint back from the year 150, learned from the Apostle John. His name was Polycarp. He was the bishop in Smyrna, one of the seven churches. With him, they forced him to deny the Lord, renounce his faith. And he said to them famously, he says, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. And I'm wondering, what did these guys have that we don't have? That's what this sermon is about, the winning mindset. How can we have the spiritual fortitude that those guys had back in the day? That's where we're going to be Sunday morning. You're invited. We'd love to see you personally. Service will be on Facebook Live at 10:30. The audio will be here on the radio next week, probably Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Or you guys can attend in person. You are invited. We would love to see you. Now, here on the radio, Revelation chapter 20, the demise of Satan. It brings me extreme pleasure to write down the title of this message here. The demise of Satan, finally, after all of these years. I mean, think about how long this dude has been around. Listen to what God wrote about him. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14. This is from the Lord speaking about Satan. He said, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O the covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings so that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst, and it devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror, and you shall be no more forever. Unquote. That's Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 14 through 19. Now, that's a double prophecy. The Lord is not only speaking to a king here, he's speaking to the devil. Just like when the Lord Jesus Christ said, he wasn't really talking to Judas when he says, what you do, do quickly. You see, he's talking to Judas, yeah, but he's talking to someone else as well. He's talking to the power behind Judas. That's why Jesus and the Apostle Paul both call the Antichrist the son of perdition, because they're in the same spirit. The spirit that you have heard was coming and is already now in the world. He might be talking to the king of Tyre here, excuse me, but he's talking to the devil. He's talking to the devil. You have become a horror, and you shall be no more forever. Now, today, that day has come. This is the end of the line for that serpent of old. If you would, please turn with me to chapter 1187. That's Revelation chapter 20. And let's pick it up here, starting at the top. Now, here in chapter 20, we're going to see four events take place. We're going to see Satan locked up. We're going to see the saints rule with Christ for 1,000 years. We're going to see Satan defeated. And lastly, we're going to see the unbelievers judged and sentenced, starting with Satan locked up. Verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. I love that verse. He shut him up. Finally, after all these years, someone is able to shut up that old devil. We read before that he deceives the whole world. Here it says he deceives all the nations. Do you hear that? Satan deceives the nations. That's one of the great revelations God gave me this time around. Remember, he promises a blessing each time you read it, is understanding 7 heads and 10 horns. We don't know all the nuts and bolts to that. All we need to know is that Satan is the power behind all of the world rulers. That's why Jesus 3 times calls him the ruler of this world, or the prince of this world. That's all we need to know. Not who the 7 horns are, the 7 heads, or what the 10 horns are. All we need to take home with us is Satan is the power behind all of the nations here, just like he is out here, just like he is in this country here, the United States, because he's the world ruler. No matter who's president, that's not dependent on. I mean, just look around in this country. Look at what runs. Look at what rules this country. Look at these things that Satan runs. He runs the government program. Satan runs the entertainment industry. Satan runs the education. Satan runs the monetary. He runs all of these things. 7 heads and 10 horns, all we need to know is Satan is the one that is the power behind the scenes. And he certainly is the power behind the scenes here in the United States. Don't deceive yourself. So John wrote here that he deceives the nations. How does he do that? What's the proof in that? Well, here is some of the proof right there. First and foremost is the belief of evolution. This is probably the worst evil of them all, to steal all of God's glory and deceiving the world into believing that all of this out here is just an accident, that the entire world has fallen for this deception. This is the work of Satan. This is what it means when John says he deceives the whole world. The whole world has fallen victim to this. Now, as for the truth, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, or John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked on and our hands have handled, considering the word of life. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. And still God says in Job 38:2, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Then he says this. He threw this out to Job. I throw it out to you. This is my evidence and proof to you that Satan is the ruler of this world and the ruler of all these countries out here today. God says this. He says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Tell me if you have understanding. That's Job chapter 38, verse 4. God throws it out there. Where were you when I made all this, friend? Where were you when I made all this? Where were you when I created all this? See, when you see all of these haters and liars on the television, or you hear them in school, you got to understand the seven heads and the ten horns. When you grasp that, then you'll understand where this stuff's coming from. Understand the seven heads and ten horns. Satan is the ruler of the nations. Then you'll better understand these lies that get thrown out here. God says, where were you when I created all these things? If you were around when God created the world, then you can step on up and you can give your opinion here. Otherwise, take thine seat. Bow down and worship Almighty God, for of him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory. Where were you when I did all this? He wants to know. But let me help you here. Believe God at his word. Take heed that no man deceive you. Because the Bible says, and we know that is true, the devil has deceived the nations, and he's deceived the whole world. If you hold to evolution, I'm afraid for you. I mean, what's next for you? What other lie from Satan do you believe if you believe that this world is an accident and came about through evolution? Friend, I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you. You believe the oldest and greatest lie. Look, it doesn't matter what your professor says, what your school says. It doesn't matter what you read in whatever history book. Understand the seven heads and ten horns. All that means is Satan is the one that's in charge. He is ruling this world. And that's why Jesus calls him the ruler of this world. He has infiltrated the education system in this world. He has infiltrated the legislative system in this world. That's why you go to the United Nations. Who do they hate? They hate the Jew, naturally. You got to peel back the layers on this onion, and then you'll understand. Satan is the ruler here. He's the ruler of this world. That's why all the world hates the Jew. That's why the United Nations hates the Jew. That's why you see what's going on here in this country. Everyone loves the poor Palestinian here, and everyone hates the Jew. Why? Because Satan is the ruler of this world. That's the reason why. Believe God at his word, at his word. The second way he deceives the nations is sin is accepted as perfectly normal. Here's a multiple choice question I'd like you to answer. Who is qualified to determine what sin is? A, Nancy Pelosi. Old Nancy says that a baby is not a baby until their birthing parent takes it home from the hospital. Now, that's option A, which, by the way, has some 80 million acceptances of that proclamation. So don't laugh too hard at my example. Option B. You can throw in anyone you want here. Joe Biden, Barack Obama, or anyone else for that matter, any sitting president who legalizes and normalizes sin. Satan's number one weapon today is his quest to deceive the whole world. C, your third option, Almighty God. Okay, and I encourage you to choose C here for your option. Like I said, who is more qualified to determine what sin is? Any old man and person out there or Almighty God? We need to choose Almighty God. Okay, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Please take that number literal. There's no reason not to. Watch how many times the writer of this book is going to say 1,000 years. And not only that, he's going to say the 1,000 years. Going to use the definite article. And when he does that, that forces you to interpret that literal here, the 1,000 years. Now, back to our law of interpreting the Bible. I mean, these amillennialists, Catholics, Presbyterians, they do not believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. But yet, we take this literal. When it says the 1,000 years, we believe that that means 1,000 years. That's not just figuratively speaking, or just means just a long period of time. We believe that the 1,000 years means the 1,000 years. Okay, the next step in this text, the saints rule with Christ for 1,000 years. That's verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was given to them. Now, for that, you can read Matthew 19:28. That was Jesus' promise, his promise to the 12, that you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of those who had been beheaded on account of the testimony of Jesus and on account of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they did not receive the mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life, and they reigned with Christ for the 1,000 years. So yes, people will still come to Christ during this time. The Bible is explicit and clear, really, that the dead in Christ don't rise until the last day. Now remember, Jesus' promise, I will keep you out of the hour of trial. That's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. It's Revelation 3:10. So there's still believers kicking around during the tribulation. Why would you think that there's not? Verse 5, now the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy, here's another beatitude. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no authority, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. So the rest of the dead are unbelievers who have died and are awaiting judgment. So Hades, we could say, I believe, is just one giant green room, so to speak, to use the old radio or TV term, the green room. That's where all those who were going to be on TV later, they wait. This is a holding place, a waiting room until they call your number and it's your time to come up. It's your time to step up. Here in this case, it's going to be, and it's your time to stand before God, to give an account for what you've done with Jesus Christ, whether or not you've received him or not. This is not for believers, I don't think. The Great White Throne is not for believers. This is for unbelievers. Because for you, Mr. and Mrs. Believer, Jesus Christ has died in your place. This is the substitutionary death of Jesus, and that is Jesus has taken your penalty on himself. The Bible says he made him who knew no sin to be sin for you so that you might be made the righteousness of God. You see, this is not you. God slammed down his gavel, friend, and he's looked at you and he has said to you, enter thou into the joy of your Lord, because Jesus took your penalty so that you would not have to stand at this great white throne. This is, you can write a big N-A here. He's not talking to you. He's talking to everyone else who has rejected the Son of God. Blessed is and holy is this person who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no exousia, is the Greek word. I've translated that authority. The word exousia can mean three things. It can mean authority. So over these, the second death's got no authority. The second death's got no authority over you because Jesus died in your place. The second death, also the word means power. The second death has no power over you. It's got no authority and it's got no power over you because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Lastly, the word exousia means right. Like as many as received him, to them he's given them the exousia, the right to become children of God, or the authority or the power to become children of God. The second death, it has no right to you. It has the right to everyone who has rejected the Son of God, but it has no claims and it has no rights to you because Jesus Christ has set you free. And the second death has no authority or power over you. Instead, it says, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay, the third thing, verse 7, Satan is defeated. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and they surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So, wow, look at all the evil still in the world. So there's still one last battle here to take place. At the end of the 1,000-year millennium, there's still one more battle here. Strange too, isn't it? That even with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, living here on planet Earth for 1,000 years for everyone to see, here is Jesus, visible on Earth, for 1,000 years, that despite that fact, Satan can still muster up an army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Why? I'll tell you why. Because faith is a gift from God, and not everyone has it. This is why Jesus can raise up old Lazarus from the dead. And half the people, when they saw this, half the people received him and believed in him. The other half went to the Pharisees to rat him out. They ratted him out to the Pharisees and complained that he went and raised someone from the dead. You see, without faith, you see, our faith is a gift from God. Don't forget it. Your faith is a gift. Not everyone has it. The Apostle Paul says, pray for us. There's a lot of evil opposition out here. He says, for not everyone has faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Your faith is a gift. Here, even with Jesus alive here on the earth, Satan can still muster up an army that's more numerous than all the sand on the seashore. And finally here, we'll wrap it up with this verse here now. The verse everyone's been waiting for all the way back to Adam and Eve. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Then the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Finally, church, after all these years, Satan is toast. And then everyone who's followed him is toast as well. They're thrown into the lake of fire, will be tormented day and night forever and ever. In the end, God wins in the end. Satan is a loser. He's going to be thrown into hell. And everyone who follows him will be cast into hell as well. We're out of time. Have a great weekend. Hopefully we'll see you here at church. Let us rejoice today in Almighty God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.